Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TAG Immobilien AG Q1 Statement 2020. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Martin Thiel.
Yeah, many thanks, and good morning, everybody. This is Martin from TAG. Good to hear you again. Very much welcome to our Q1 conference call. Today, what are the topics we want to discuss with you? Of course, the Q1 results, but perhaps even more interesting in these days is the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on our business. Additionally, we want to report on the development of our business in Poland as well in the presentation that you hopefully have in front of you, which is also available on our website. Let's start with page number four. That's the highlight slide for the first quarter of 2020. Looking at the operational performance, which refers solely to the German portfolio, the vacancy rate in the residential units is up by 30 basis points from 4.6% at the beginning of the year to 4.9%. That's a development which is not unusual for the first quarter. We'll come to that a little bit later. Like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, basically stable and positive at 2.3% compared to 2.4% in the financial year 2019. Quite strong increase in FFO by 2.8 million quarter-on-quarter, now at 42 million, and that translates into 0.29 per share. Looking at the EPRA NAV and LTV, as expected, no major changes in the first quarter as we had no valuation in the first quarter. The EPRA NAV, or now called EPRA NTA, net tangible assets, so without any goodwill, without any intangible assets, at 20.23 euros. LTV at 44.6% compared to 44.8% at year-end 2019, so that's basically unchanged. Positive news from our side regarding acquisitions. We were able to acquire in Germany 865 units in the first quarter at an attractive nearly 8% gross yield. Also Poland looks very positive in this regard. We were able to secure land banks and projects of more than 1,100 units in the first quarter, mainly in Poznań as our second location in Poland after Wrocław. Looking on the disposal side in Germany, this is not really a material business that we have there, 48 units disposed. Poland was also in this regard successful with 205 units in the first quarter of 2020, which is an exceptional good number for a first quarter of a developer. That's, let's say, the quite normal picture from Q1, and I think definitely good numbers. I'm now on the next slide on page number five, where we'll take a look at the COVID-19 business update. Putting that more generally, the good news is that we see really limited impact from the current COVID-19 crisis. Let's start with how we behave in this environment. Of course, as a big landlord, like other companies, we have definitely responsibility not only for our employees, also for our clients, for our tenants. Therefore, we voluntarily decided since the middle of March 2020 to stay away from any rent increases on the basis of adjustments to local comparative rents. That means ongoing rent increases from the local Mietspiegels have been paused since March 2020. For us, this is clear. It's on one side a commitment and a sign that we show to our tenants in these days, which we consider to be something which is sensible. On the other side, of course, we see this as a kind of temporary situation. Therefore, yes, it's very clear at some point in time we have to get back to normal, and perhaps this is also something that happens then now in June or July, that we go back to a kind of normal mode. Therefore, we don't expect here any material effect on our like-for-like rental growth for the full year. Also, we're doing no terminations due to loss of income caused by the corona crisis. That's clear. That's also more or less what the law already says. We have no evictions of inhabited apartments right now. increased social engagement for nonprofit organizations is something which is also very important for us in these days. That's basically nothing new. You know that we are in locations where we really have a big focus on what we call neighborhood developments. So the social engagement has always been part of our business, but we clearly increased that now in the last weeks. And then coming to the numbers, and we think it's really good news to show you that the vacancy rates are stable and that we have no material impact on rent payments. So for example, looking at the vacancy rates in the course of the first months of the year, we started at 4.9% in January in our residential units, which is by far the highest share of our portfolio. We've been stable in March and April, and basically also stable in May. So 5.0% is the vacancy rate at the beginning of the May 2020. Looking at rent receivables, they're basically on the same level compared to the month before, so no material increase. And the deferral of net rent so far has been really limited. So just 0.4% of our tenants in the total residential units ask us for a rent holiday and are currently not paying the rent. And looking at the commercial units, which is a small size of our portfolio, it's approximately 8.5% of the total commercial tenants who ask us for a rent holiday and are not paying the rents. Looking at the absolute amounts, you see this is a quite manageable amount, so it's approximately 100,000 euros per month that we currently have suspended or deferred regarding the rent for residential units, and approximately 70,000 euros per month for the commercial units. So this is really, really a limited number, and so far we don't expect any changes in that, especially not any increases in the coming weeks. Looking at the next slide, of course, in these days, liquidity position and maturities is something important to look at. You see also in the balance sheet that we have enough cash, that we have unchanged 3 years before, 120 million of credit lines, fully undrawn. That for us, it's absolutely not a problem and absolutely as planned that we pay out the dividend, which is, by the way, tax-free again after the AGM on the 22nd of May 2020 of 82 cents per share. Also good news that we were able to do bank loan refinancings in March and April 2020. So this was something that basically happened right in the middle of the crisis, and that was something where we, of course, have been proud of, that our banks are still fully committed to us, and also the conditions were very favorable. So looking at the terms, 143 million euros, new bank loans in 5 contracts with different German banks at an average interest rate of 1.17% for 10-year maturity on average. That's, of course, definitely positive for us and reduces our average cost of debt. Then no major upcoming maturities in the next 2 months. So what we have in 2020 as maturities is 65 million all in all, taking into account the bank loans, corporate bonds, and some commercial papers. And for 2021, that's 46 million, basically, or the most part of it is bank loans. So that puts us in a very stable financial and liquidity position. Looking at our business in Poland, also here we have definitely positive developments. So the business in Poland has not been materially affected. The most important news is that the construction sites are still running, you know, and I will come back to that a little bit later more in detail, that we want to build up a pipeline of 8,000 to 10,000 residential units in Poland, and therefore the construction sites are important for us so that we stay in our plans, and that's so far without any delays. Of course, the second quarter shows so far reduced sales from apartments. So in the first quarter, as I've said, we sold 205 units in Poland. That was in January, February, approximately 80 to 90 units per month on average, whereas in March and April, we have seen this to a number of around 30 units. But this is something that we consider to be temporary. And that's more something that is then linked to restrictions that you have in Poland as well as in Germany. So people at the moment simply are not leaving the house if they not have to. Visiting apartments, visiting construction sites for them is, of course, nothing that is that easy, as it has been in January and February. But as the situation turns also in Poland, not only in Germany, more and more positive, we expect that the Q3 sales will be back on a level that we expected. So this should be clearly something temporary. Also important, the acquisition processes for new land banks and projects continue. A lot of that is done also from Germany, but the largest part is done from our colleagues at Vantage Development in Poland. So therefore, the current travel ban, so that means that the borders between Germany and Poland are not open, is for us not that important, as we have a good team in Poland who is then responsible for the acquisition processes, and that continues. So this is an update regarding the impact from the COVID-19 crisis. And again, we think good news is that we are really stable and this business model is, as we expected, also very resilient. Then looking into our financial statements for the first quarter, and I'm now on page 8 of the presentation. First of all, you see here a detailed split on page number 8 regarding the P&L from Germany and the new P&L, if you want, so from Poland. We do this to give you here full transparency, how the effects are, and of course, the effect from Poland in the first quarter is limited, so the numbers are small, but perhaps interesting to see the effects here in detail. So commenting on the developments on the first quarter, January, a very positive development with increased net rents, a slightly decreased net rental income, but this is something which is in the first quarter not that unusual. We had here higher maintenance costs, we had temporarily higher cost of vacant real estate, so therefore that's basically in plan. Looking at the net income from sales result in Poland, you see that we have here a negative result of 700,000 units, but don't be confused or don't assume that we have here sales losses. This is the effect of the purchase price allocation that we have to do in our consolidated financial statements on TAG level. So 1.6 million additional cost of goods sold were implemented here. This 1.6 million is a net number, so after deferred taxes. So looking at the local P&L in Poland, the net income from sales have been positive. That was a result or a net income positive of 1.5 million. So this is really purely something, if you want, so technical or accounting-wise, a negative result. We have no portfolio valuation results in the first quarter, as usual. So the next portfolio valuation will be done at the half year. So we'll do this again twice this year. And looking into potential effects from this portfolio valuation at the end of the first half, we have not really final results so far, but for us it is very clear that we expect a very similar result as we had in the second half of 2019 or in the first half of 2019. So looking at the absolute amounts we had in the last two half years, around 200 million valuation gain, if you ask me, well, what is a good estimate for that? Perhaps a similar number should be something that we also expect, but please understand that this is more or less a preliminary thought on that. Very clear is we don't see in the market here any negative effect on purchase prices from the COVID-19 crisis. So therefore, when we talk with our valuer CBRE, the positive trend that we have seen in German residential and especially in the B and C locations where we are in should also continue for the first half of 2020. Very clear, the second half of 2020 has more uncertainties, but if you look what we see today in the market, do we expect here a material negative development? No, that's definitely not the case, but of course everything, and I think that's true for nearly every business, depends on the further development of the COVID-19 crisis. Commenting on the net financial results, increase or an improvement of 500,000 euros quarter on quarter due to cheaper refinancings, and also the tax effect, so the cash tax effect, was more positive than in the fourth quarter of 2019, so with approximately 1.4 million reduced taxes. I'm now on page number 9, which shows the overview of the EBITDA, FFO, and AFFO calculation. And important to explain how we calculate FFO 1 and FFO 2 in 2020. So looking at the FFO 1, this is an FFO 1 that is purely generated by our German business. If you want, so this is the old TAG, so purely the German business. So therefore, FFO 1 in 2020 is completely comparable with FFO from 2019. And all the results from our business in Poland, which is mainly Vantage Development, is included in FFO 2. So you see on the left side in the FFO 2 calculation that, of course, on the one side, as in the past, the net income from sales in Germany are included in FFO 2, but new, the results from operations Poland is included and contributes to FFO 2. And how we calculate this result from operations in Poland is shown on the right side of slide number 9. That's basically the net income from Poland after minorities without any effects from the purchase price allocation. And if necessary, this was not the case in Q1, if there are any deferred taxes and if there are any larger one-offs, we would exclude them. So the idea behind that is that, A, the result from Poland is completely included in FFO2, and B, this result is a cash result from disposals. So looking then at the developments in the first quarter of 2020, I already said a strong increase in FFO by 2.8 million euros. Also, the AFFO increased from 19.4 million to 21.3 million, an improved EBITDA adjusted margin. And looking at the result from operation in Poland, now after the effect from the purchase price allocation, this was then already a positive result of 700,000 for the first quarter of 2020. On page 10, you see the balance sheet development. Just one small comment on that. For the first time now, we have a goodwill in our balance sheet from the purchase price allocation of Vantage. This purchase price allocation is still preliminary, but for now, we have a goodwill of around 18 million, so not really a significant large number, but just something to point out because it's also important for the NAV calculation that you see on the next page, on page number 11. We have here two calculations on the left side, the, as EPRA announced, new calculation way, the EPRA, if you look at that exactly, net tangible assets value in euro per share, that excludes not only the goodwill, but also other intangible assets. Other intangible assets, that's basically IT software, which is not really a huge number. And that leads then on a fully diluted basis to an NAV of 20 euros and 23 cents. And if you want, so the old definition from 2019 would lead to an EPRA NAV per share fully diluted of 20 euros and 37 cents. So that's not really a material difference, but the main difference is now the goodwill that we have in our balance sheet. Then I'm coming to page number 12, the financing structure. You see here the full maturity profile, and that includes all the debt that we have now taken over from Vantage, from our business in Poland. This debt is not really significant when looking at the amounts. So the total bank loans at the end of the first quarter have just been 6 million, and the bonds that Vantage issued in the past amounted to 24 million, so 30 million of debt. And comparing that with the cash that Vantage has in the balance sheet of the first quarter, which was 46 million, that leads then to the fact that we have a positive net debt in Poland that is coming into our balance sheet now at the end of the first quarter. As already said, LTV on our LTV target, so 44.6% was the exact number, and there's still refinancing potential. So when I refer to maturities, when looking at the effects from the COVID-19 impact, this is something different compared to the refinancing potential, as we have substantially bank loans where not the maturities are in 2020 or 21, but we have bank loans where the interest terms are ending. And we are then, from our side, able to reset that. We are able to cancel the contracts if we want, and that's, of course, something that we are planning in this environment with still lower interest rates. So still 294 million of German bank loans maturing in the next up to 3 years, and that should give us additional financing cost savings. Then let's go to page number 15, where we show the development of rental growth and also the CapEx that we spent. We had increased CapEx in the first quarter, so analyzing that, we have been at €16.80. You see this on the top right of page number 15. That adds up to total investments, including the maintenance cost of €23.6 per square meter. That's more than in the financial year 2019, €20.40 was still the number. But we should not expect that we have for the full year really a material increase compared to 2019. So the full year numbers should be something perhaps a little bit below the current level. So that means that the CapEx strategy is unchanged. So we're not changing that to any large material modernization project, especially not for existing tenants. But we're doing more modernizations regarding vacancy reduction. You know already from the last financial year that we did a lot in the Chemnitz region. And as announced already in the last calls, we are doing now more in the Berlin region, and there the focus is on the 3,000 units that we have in Brandenburg and Havel, which is part of the Berlin region, where we started already at the end of last year, but more material in the first quarter, a modernization program to reduce vacancy. Like-for-like rental growth was in total at 2.3%. That compares very well with the financial year 2019, and also the like-for-like rental growth without vacancy reduction was stable at 1.9%. And as I said, for now, we don't expect here really a material impact on the fact that we voluntarily suspended rent increases for now, as we assume that this is something that is temporary and perhaps already in the third quarter we will come back to a modus which is then more normal. But for now, we thought that's something that we have to do as part of our social responsibility for our tenants. Then I'm turning to page number 16, vacancy rate development. Well, it's not unusual for the first quarter that we have an increase in vacancy rate. Generally, the increase at all was not very strong. The increase was 30 basis points between January and March. So if you compare that with the financial year 2019 and 2018, you'll see, yes, also in these years, there have been increases, 20 basis points in the first quarter of 2019. Also, the 30 basis points like in 2020 and 2018. So for what reason ever, there's a kind of seasonality in that. And looking into our region, yes, of course, we have in Berlin and Chemnitz the modernization programs, plus the seasonality, plus what we really see as an effect, and that's true especially for a region like Rostock, that we have in this region quite a lot of apartments that rent out to students. So Greifswald, for example, is a city with a big university, or Rostock, where we have, of course, in this regard, an impact from the COVID-19, as many students are not now hiring, are renting their apartments. So therefore, that's not really material, but PEX explains in this region a certain increase of vacancy rates. But as I said, this is nothing unusual for this time of the year. Then I'm now on page number 18. A quick comment on our acquisitions in Germany in the first quarter 2020. First of all, for us, very good to see that acquisitions are still working. And yes, of course, looking for, if you want some more technical perspective, it's difficult to do due diligence processes in these days, but that still works. So we were able to sign in January and March contracts for 865 units. Closing has already taken place, so in the end of March and the end of April. So these acquisitions will contribute to the FFO from the second quarter onwards, and the gross yield that we achieved was still very attractive at nearly 8%. And looking into our acquisition pipeline for the full year 2020, we're optimistic. So we see portfolios on the market that are interesting for us. Of course, difficult to give here concrete guidance, but we should at least achieve what we have done in the last year or even in the year before. So therefore, also acquisition markets are still open. If you ask me, well, do we see an impact from the COVID-19 crisis on portfolios on the market? No, not really. So we don't see any forced sellers. We don't see any drops in purchase prices, which is then on the other side, of course, good news for our valuation. It's more or less an ongoing process, but also this should be good news that these markets are not closed. Then I'm on page number 20, and you see here from page number 20 onwards some slides regarding our business in Poland. Some of the content you already know, so the strategic rationale to start with this of our Poland expansion is very clear. We want to build up here in a very promising market, which is the residential for rent market in Poland, a portfolio of 8 to 10,000 letting units in the next 3 to 5 years. We're doing this in the large cities in Poland. So far we have two locations here, which are Poznan and Wrocław. Other locations in the western part of Poland are also very promising, and we are working here on concrete acquisitions, and perhaps in the second quarter we can already report here on concrete further acquisitions in other locations. Looking at our plans, you see here on the bottom of page number 20 a summary of what we are planning and what we have on current projects. So the total projects that we want to have in the build-to-hold projects until the end of 2024 is at least 8,600 units. And looking at the build-to-sell projects, this number should add up to 4,600 units that we want to build and to sell in this time. Out of this total volume of 13,200 units, you see this on the very right side, 5,700 units are current projects. That means we have already acquired the land banks or secured. All these projects are already under construction. And 7,500 units are planned projects. But planned projects, to the very largest part, doesn't mean that this is something far away. These are really concrete projects we are working on. And we clearly expect that in the course of the financial year 2020, we can really announce more concrete about these acquisitions. So it's not a faraway pipeline. This is something that should be very, very close. Looking then at the midterm effect, and you can see this on page number 20 on the bottom left, looking at the build-to-hold project, we should achieve an estimated EBITDA contribution from the letting per annum between 30 and 35 million out of this 8,600 units. And from the build-to-sell project, the total EBITDA contribution from sales will be between 50 and 55 million. So you should expect in next years a year-by-year stronger cash flow from our activities in Poland. How are we achieving this? You see this on 21, that, of course, big part of that is Vantage Development. That's the company that we acquired last year when we signed the contract. The closing was in January this year. We're very happy with our acquisition so far. First of all, the first good news is that the whole team is still on board. You see on the left side that Vantage has around 100 employees in different departments. And not only the CEO, Edward Laufer, and CFO, Dariusz Pawlukowicz, are still on board. Also, as I said, the whole team in the different departments is still with us. And that's, of course, something that is very positive, that we really can build up our portfolio on the knowledge of these people. And looking at the results from Vantage for the financial year 2019, that's shown on 21 on the right side, the numbers were even a little bit better than expected. So Vantage achieved revenues from sales of 84 million euros and EBITDA of nearly 14 million, the net income after taxes, after interest cost, which is really a cash result, a level of 11.3 million euros. So this was something that was definitely positive for us after the closing. Then on page 22, you see more details on our build-to-hold pipeline, further details on the number of project stages and so on. But what's most interesting is on the bottom left of page 22, at what point in time do we expect that projects are completed and when rent starts. Then you see that we will expect and have the first rents towards the end of the financial year 2021. So we expect that we have around 500 units, which are currently already under construction then in 2021, ready and rented out. And then the number year by year increases up to the 8,600 units that I already mentioned, which should then be finished more or less towards year-end 2024 or at the beginning of 2025. Page 23, on the next slide, you see basically the same structure for the build-to-sell pipeline. The timeline of sales shows you that in 2020, we will have, again, strong sales results and strong cash inflows from Vantage via the disposed units. And this disposal business in Poland is something that we clearly want to continue. So if we look mid to long term in our business of Poland, of course, the largest part of the cash flows will come from the residential for rent business, but this residential for sale business or disposal business will always be a part of our business in Poland, and you see here how we expect that to translate into cash over the years. On 24, some words on our financing strategy. First of all, for 2020, the financing needs are quite moderate. As I said, Vantage has in its own balance sheet a strong cash position of more than 46 million, and clearly we expect strong cash inflows in 2020 from the disposals. So therefore, what we currently are planning is that we will downstream to Vantage up to 50 million for further projects. And I think that's important. This financing, if needed, of up to 450 million is then really for new acquisition. So to put it the other way around, the existing projects in Advantage for 2020 are fully financed, so there's no need. But of course, as I said, the plan is to acquire further land banks, to acquire further projects, and therefore we expect up to 50 million that we will give via shareholder loan from TAG to Vantage in Poland. So that's not really a material size that is needed. Mid to long term, so from 2021 onwards, the financing needs will be between 150 to 200 million. So that's something that we have to finance, and we have two ways to do that. That's on the one side, similar to what we do here in Germany, secured financing at Vantage level via mortgage, secured bank loans, and on as a second option, and that's clearly attractive to do that, we have the possibility of unsecured financing at TG holding level, for example, via corporate bonds or promissory notes, as we did in the past. Yes, of course, we have a certain foreign exchange risk, and for now, we are not under pressure to do something right now, but we are currently working on our strategy. When we look at the historical developments between the euro and the Polish zloty, that has been very stable over the last 3 to 5 years. So the idea behind it is to have more hedging strategy, which is not a full hedge of the full, complete foreign exchange risk. We don't think this is necessary, but of course, we want to do something that we are really prevented from suffering unexpected peaks in the exchange rate or unexpected losses. And this is something that we want to implement from 2021 onwards. And then some final comments on page number 26. That's the guidance slide. Looking at the German guidance for financial year 2020, the guidance is unchanged. So therefore, we are clearly committed and clearly confirm our FFO guidance between 168 and 117 million. We also confirm the dividend guidance for the financial year 2020, then paid out at the AGM in 2021 of 87 cents per share. New is the guidance that we give on the business in Poland. And as I said, this business in Poland for 2020 is solely a disposal business. We expect here sales revenues between 80 and 85 million and a result from operations. And that's exactly the result that I explained some minutes before, of around 10 million euros for 2020. This will then be part, this 10 million euros, of our FFO2. And if you divide that through the current number of shares, that translates into a value per share of 7 cents. From 2021 onwards, Poland will then contribute to the FFO1 of TAG, but as pointed out, for 2020, we will have on the one side strong cash flows, but on the other side, only an FFO2 contribution from our business in Poland. That's it from my side so far. So resuming that again, first, that's the most important news for today. We don't see really any impact from the COVID-19 crisis on our business. So everything is running more or less as expected. Q1 was a good quarter with an FFO that increased quarter and quarter by nearly 3 million euros. And the business in Poland is already successful in the first quarter and is something that we regard as very promising for the next year. Thank you very much so far. And of course, now we're happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to raise a question, please press 9 followed by a star on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press 9 and star again. And we have first questions coming in. First, to raise a question is Mr. Thomas Neuhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation, taking my questions. Actually, I only have two on the Polish business. Firstly, strategy-wise, you plan to increase the number of units quite strong in the next years in Poland, leading also to quite high capex requirements. What impact will this have on your capital recycling strategy in Germany and also your acquisition policy in Germany? Do you plan to slow down the acquisitions in Germany a little bit and rather focus on Poland, or do you plan to increase also the disposals in Germany in order to finance the expansion in Poland, or do you want to increase the debt of the company a little bit? That's the first question.
Yeah, thank you very much, Thomas. To say this very clearly, Poland is something additional. So there are no plans to sell assets in Germany and take this as financing for new acquisitions in Poland. I mean, the German market is as it is. You know that from the past, that it's very competitive. So therefore, do we expect significant large transactions in the market in Germany? That's perhaps nothing that is really realistic. But again, as I said, we're still optimistic that we are able to deliver for 2020 on similar acquisition sizes than in 2019, 2018, and perhaps even a little bit more. But that's one side. And this German acquisitions, on the other side, will be also financed via disposals in Germany, but really in sizes like you know from us from the past. And then the second and new external growth opportunity is then Poland, where we see really, yes, of course, also competitive markets, but not really comparable to what we see in Germany, especially not in this institutional residential for rent sector that we are now entering as perhaps one of the first institutional landlords in Poland. So therefore, we definitely have enough financial power to do acquisitions in Germany on top of that what we do in Germany. And again, if you look at the absolute volumes that are necessary, so this up to around 50 million for 2020, and then annually around 150 million, perhaps up to 200 million from 2021 onwards. This is something that based on a current GAV of 5.4 billion should be absolutely manageable for us.
And but the second question is on the build-to-hold pipeline in Poland. The average rent level seems relatively high, 10 to 11 euros. I know the apartment size is not that big, so we're talking about a total rent of maybe 450 to 550 euros per apartment per month. But still, you have quite ambitious rollout plans, and you will bring roughly, I would say, in medium term, 1,000 to 1,500 new apartments to mid-sized Polish cities. Do you think there's a risk that you might not be able to let out the apartment at this price tag?
Well, the prices that we are putting into our business plan are really prices that we currently see in the market and also currently see with the Vantage product. So that's perhaps interesting to know that Vantage already in the past sold around 30% of its apartment to people who rented the apartments out afterwards. So these were then mostly private people who bought 3, 5 or even a little bit more apartments and rented it out. So in the rent level of 10 or 11 euros per square meter is something that we already observe in the market, so that's not a pure assumption. And, of course, not only with rented apartments, also with other apartments that we observe in the markets of Wroclaw and Poznan. Compared to our German portfolio, I mean, this is clearly higher. You know that our average rent in Germany is 5.40 euro, but it's, first of all, a different product. So in Poland, we're talking about newly constructed apartments, and secondly, in Poland, we're really talking about the large cities. So perhaps except Warsaw, we're talking about then all other cities that have then 600,000, 800,000 people living there, like Wroclaw, like Poznan, and the apartment size is smaller than in Germany. So whereas in our German portfolio, we have on average 60 to 65 euros per square meter, in Poland in a rental apartment, we're talking about sizes of perhaps 40 to 45 square meter. That's the difference. And we see that the demand in the market. So we were very optimistic that we're able to do this. And again, it's not concentrated only on one location like Wroclaw. We have already entered the second location, Poznan, and a third or fourth location will follow quite soon. So it should be also a very well diversified approach.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Sander Bank from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning team. Two or three questions from my side, and I'll ask them one by one. The first question is a bit back on the funding strategy for Poland and how you expect to do that going forward, and appreciate the outlay in itself is not too high. But just kind of thinking about, because in total you're looking for at least for the whole pipeline to 600 million, which is more than 10% of the existing portfolio. So are you just fully using your further valuation growth to lever up again and get those proceeds? So kind of how are you thinking about that?
Thank you for the question, Sander. For us, it's clear that equity is at a certain point in time an option. That's nothing to, or not perhaps, that's surely nothing to think about that in the short term. So we've seen that the financing needs for 2020 in Poland are very limited. So therefore, there's not equity for our business in Poland needed. But yes, of course, if we are realizing that's a clear plan, also that the pipeline in Poland in the next years, that is a clear option for us. So using valuation gains in Germany to keep the LTV on that level only is perhaps nothing that is in line with our thoughts of how a, let's say, stable financing structure should be.
Okay, perfect. That's very clear. The other question I had is on your potential rating. I was wondering if you've had since in the last couple of months, if you've had contact with your rating agency and what they're kind of saying about the current rating, and then if there's any potential for improvement or is it more expected to be stable going forward?
Well, first of all, the rating should be definitely something stable. In these times, of course, it's difficult to think about upgrades. Would that be something realistic? I don't know. We have clearly expectations that we are very well positioned between our Ba3 rating at Moody's, that the trend was clearly more towards an upgrade, and perhaps this is still something that is realistic. We have no detailed discussion so far with the agency in the last weeks. We will do this in summer again as planned. Of course, Moody's has received, as it is common after each quarter and after each full year, our cash forecasts, our business plan. So, and this was all, from my point of view, very well received. And we have definitely not received any negative comments on our business, whether this is the German or the Polish business. So therefore, if you ask me, we feel very well positioned within Baa3, and perhaps in a world where the COVID-19 crisis is not that dominant as today, the trend should be clearly more towards an upgrade.
Okay, and the development business in Poland is not having an impact on that potential rating, i.e. they do not require you to have a lower LTV to compensate for the slightly higher development risk that you eventually take on?
No, that's not the case.
Okay, perfect. And then very, very last question, just on the rental growth, how do you, and I know kind of this question has been asked previous times as well, but how do you think about that going forward? Do you still kind of expect 2% base rate plus 50 base points from vacancy reduction and modernization? Is that kind of the ongoing run rate, or is that something that ultimately is just going to trend more towards the 1.5%, 2%?
No, that's not the case that we are expecting mid to long term a lower like-for-like rental growth. Therefore, really the underlying fundamentals should change. I mean, if you ask us, well, what do you see regarding vacancy rate development? I mean, it's clear that staying on the level that we had at the beginning of the year in these times is very good news from our point of view. But clearly we expected already that we had a reduced vacancy rate at the end of the first quarter, but that's not really a material difference. So therefore, yes, potentially we have some delays in vacancy rate reduction during the course of financial year 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 crisis, but that's nothing that is that we consider as something that is mid to long term the case. So what we see in our markets is also in this time a very good demand, a very healthy demand. And we feel very well positioned even in a time where we have perhaps tougher times in terms of higher unemployment rates and so on, because we really offer affordable housing with a per square meter rent of 5.40 €, and that should be something that is also very much searched from potential tenants in the future.
Great. Thanks very much.
And the next question is Mr. Kai Klose from Berenberg. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, good morning. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one is on page 28 of the presentation in the appendix. You had in, if I see that correctly, in all locations an increase in vacancy rates. Was that expected, or is it something which was maybe not because of the crisis, but somewhat more than you expected to see? Second question would be on the acquisitions you did in Germany on page 18. Could you maybe elaborate a bit more on the seller of those two portfolios and what you expect or how quickly you expect the properties to be upgraded? And then the third question would be, we had a lower cash tax rate, if I see that correctly, in the FFO calculation. Is it something which we should expect for the remainder of the year, or was it something specific for the first quarter? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Kai. To start with the third question, you should expect similar cash taxes in the second, third, and fourth quarter, because the cash tax expense in the fourth quarter of 2019 was higher than normal. So therefore, what we have today in our books or in the first quarter, that's something that from our point makes sense to pencil in into a model for the remaining part of the year. Answering the question regarding vacancy rates, yes, that's basically something that we expected for the first quarter, so it's not unusual, as I said, that we have a kind of seasonality. For what reason ever, a lot of people are leaving the apartments in January and February. That has been the case also in the last 2 years, as you see from our chart, so that's not really a surprise for us. As I said, perhaps the only impact from COVID-19 was in some regions where we have a higher proportion of students. And the main example here was the Rostock region, where we, in fact, really had an increase in vacancy rate by 80 basis points. And here we are not offering, let's say, 100% student homes, but we offer apartments that are a lot of them are used by students. And therefore, as universities are shut, we saw here, and if you want, so the only unexpected increase. But generally, that's not really far behind our plans, just to put it like this. And then commenting on the acquisition, the type of seller, well, there's not one special type of seller on the market where we're buying from. I would say, as I think it also said in past calls, there are perhaps two types of sellers. And in this regard, these were more local sellers who are very well familiar with the market, but perhaps was lacking to some extent, is the financial power to modernize apartments. And you have to do this in many cases in a first step from equity. That's as a listed company, not the problem. So there we're very optimistic that we can improve vacancy rates, increase rents quite soon as we're really able to do the modernizations and refinance that then afterwards with our banks when we have to increase cash flow. The second type of seller, which is not the case in conditions, is the more institutional seller with a lot of financial power, but not that, let's say, locally in the market. And this combination is something that we consider to be really advantage of our structure. So we're acting very decentralized, very locally, but with the financial power of a listed company.
I see. And thank you. And the last question would be on page 10 on the balance sheet. Just to clarify the real estate inventory, which went up quite strongly. You mentioned you had a footnote on the right-hand side. Is it coming from the, from, or does this reflect vintage development activities, or is it from the consolidation of Vintage as a corporate?
That's from the consolidation as Vintage as a corporate.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thiel, there are no further questions at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much from our side that you joined our call. As always, if there are any questions left, please feel free to contact us. I'm happy to hear you at least in the next days and weeks via virtual conferences. Stay all healthy and have a good day. Thank you very much.